Well, good afternoon, everyone. As you know, we were not here last week. We were in the middle of the Sierra Nevada mountains, camped beside a beautiful lake. I took my sons and another member here on a backpacking trip. We spent just about a week climbing around in some really beautiful country, and eventually climaxed the trip by a climb to the top of Mount Whitney, the highest point in the U.S. outside of Alaska. The trip, in conjunction with the need for a sermonette topic, inspired me to look at the way the scriptures use the symbol of mountains in conveying their message. Now, while there are several uses of this symbol as something which shows strength and stability, generally, when the Bible speaks of mountains and hills, it is done in the context of using those words as symbols for nations. Let's take a look at some examples to illustrate this. If you start by turning with me to Daniel 2, beginning in verse 34, says here, it's in the midst of Daniel relating to Nebuchadnezzar the dream that he had seen. He says, "You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Well, this mountain, of course, is representative of God's kingdom, the great nation that's supposed to eventually rule the entire world. But what about other nations? If you turn back to Isaiah 2, we'll see this same mountain referred to in the context of the other nations. Isaiah 2, beginning in verse 2. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So here we have this mountain representing God's kingdom, established on the top of the mountains and exalted above the hills. And these mountains and other hills appear to be the other nations. Well, here we have references to the future mountains and hills, and what about the present day? If you turn with me to Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51, beginning in verse 20. It appears to be speaking of Babylon in the context of the chapter. And beginning in verse 20, God says, "You are my battle axe and weapons of war." So here are some more symbols God is calling Babylon. "You are my battle axe and weapons of war, for with you I will break the nation in pieces, and with you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you also I will break in pieces man and woman. And with you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers." Verse 24, "And I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Eternal. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth says the Eternal, and I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. So here we see Babylon called a destroying mountain and eventually to become a burnt mountain. In Zechariah 4, we have another verse here referring to Zerubbabel. And in verse 7, God says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." When God's kingdom is established, there is no doubt that a certain amount of restructuring of the earth will take place. If deserts are to blossom, weather patterns influenced heavily by mountain ranges will have to be altered. The many earthquakes mentioned in Revelation may have a hand in some of that. But some have attempted to claim that God will destroy all the mountains on the earth. And there is a passage in Isaiah they like to cite which seems to imply this. But I want you to keep in mind what we have seen so far about the symbol of mountains as we read this passage. Turn with me to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. I'm going to read verse 15, and I'm going to start by reading it in the Old King James. It says, "Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff." Does this mean that God is going to provide the Israelites with some remarkable machine which will help them level the mountains? This is what I was told some 30 years ago by a few ministers and other fellow students at Ambassador College. But having just seen the awesome and majestic beauty of the Sierras, I certainly hope that this is not the case. Let's try reading this verse in the New King James Version. In the New King James, it says, "Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel." So on this New King James, it doesn't sound as the Old King James did, that he would make for them a threshing instrument, but rather he was going to make them into a new threshing instrument. But let's back up a bit to verse 10 and get this section in context. In Isaiah 41:10, it reads, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish." So here God is telling them about their enemies and what's going to happen. Verse 12, "You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Eternal, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Eternal, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And how does God say he's going to help them? Verse 15, "Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel." God is saying here that he will use Israel themselves to destroy the nations around them, their enemies, not that they will literally chop down the physical mountains around them. Even this concept of threshing the nations as opposed to the literal mountains and hills is given elsewhere. We saw it earlier in the quote from Daniel. In Daniel 2, verse 35, again it reads, "Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, the wind carried them away, so that no trace of them was found. These are some of the same words that were used in verse 16 of Isaiah 41 that we just read. In Micah 4, in verse 11, Micah 4:11, now also many nations have gathered against you, who say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Eternal, nor do they understand his counsel. For he will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples. I will consecrate their gain to the Eternal and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. So we see the same message here in Micah, using the same symbol of threshing, but leaving out the symbol of the mountains, but Israel being used to beat in pieces many peoples and to get rid of their enemies. The Bible uses symbols frequently, especially in prophecy, and we need to be careful about taking literally what God meant to be figurative. It does not appear that God is going to create some massive machine to destroy the physical mountains of the earth. I personally hope not. But the figurative mountains, or current nations of the earth, will be destroyed and replaced by God's kingdom.